This is a special sermon to go along with the ad in the Washington Times. It's not the economy, stupid, it's God. And we're living in a time when people are wondering, how did we get the government that we have? How did the banking system go down the way that it went down? Why are all of these things coming upon us? And a lot of people have done research and they understand that they now have in place enough executive orders to slam down a police state on the United States of America that would make the Third Reich look tame. So if you don't believe that, go online and look up the executive orders available to the president. Doesn't matter if it's Obama or whoever it may be, they are there. And also, Department of Homeland Security, what did they do? Remember the big uproar last week about they said, well, we have to watch out for these returning vets because they may be possible terrorists. Well, that's only part of the story. Do you know who else are terrorists? Possible terrorists? Those who keep the Sabbath, those who believe in the Bible, those who believe in the return of Jesus Christ. Those who believe the United States and Britain are Israel. Now, why do you suppose that they included all of these people in the big sweep on it? Because there's probably a part in the Telephone Surveillance Act that if they're designated as a suspected terrorist, they can tap your phones. They can open your mail. Why are all of these things happening? How did we come to a point where we're losing all of our freedoms? We're losing our economic well-being. We have high unemployment. We have banks that are broken. We have corporations in bankruptcy. We have liars and cheats and thieves who have been ripping off money, not to say nothing about what the Federal Reserve has done to the nation. And why are all of these things happening? And everyone thinks, oh, we've got to fix it with new votes. We've got to fix it let's put other people in there. Well, let me remind you, both parties are responsible. And all the American people combined are responsible. Because it's not the economy, stupid, it is God. So let's look in the Bible and let's see how God thinks, what He is doing, why these things have come upon us, and what we need to do as individuals. Because you all know the politicians are not going to change. You all know that all the difficulties and problems that we have in the nation are because of the sins of too many people. And a lot of people who think they are right and good and upstanding citizens, nevertheless, before God, are practicing sinners. And someone would say, you mean me? The answer is yes. Let's first of all start out from God's point of view. Let's understand that there is nothing that we have that we didn't receive, and it all came from God. So let's come to the book of Psalms. Let's come to Psalm 24. Let's see what God says. Let's see how God defines it. Psalm 24. Here's where we need to begin. Let's not talk about our country, our state, our county, our city, my house, my children. Let's start with God. Verse 1. The Lord, the earth is the Lord's. God made it. God created it. He made us after His image for a great and tremendous purpose. But as we will see, people have turned their backs on God. And the fullness of it, the world, and those that dwell in it. Every human being is a special creation of God. He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Now let's come here to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and let's see what God says. Let's see the message of God to man. Now, he talks here about some idols. Now, we have lots of idols, and of course, the biggest idols that we have are self. Isn't that true? Remember this. Whenever you reject God and reject the truth of God and reject His Word, you are making yourself greater than God. So ask yourself the question, what have you done? And all of those who don't want the laws of God, the commandments of God, the truth of God, the Bible, they don't want it taught in the schools. They don't want it taught in the churches. They don't want it taught publicly. And people, if they hear the word of God, some of them will even sue you because they're offended. Let's see what God says. Let's get a greater perspective of Him. Let's come here to verse 12, Isaiah 40. So if you think that you are strong, if you think that you are smart, if you think that you are intelligent, think again. Now, I have a DVD in my hand called The Privileged Planet. And yes, indeed, the Earth is the privileged planet because God made it that way. And He set before all of us life and death, good and evil. And we are to choose. And the majority of people have chosen the evil, and that's what's wrong with the world today, and that's what's wrong with the United States of America today. So God says, I want you to understand this, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out the heavens with a span? And who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? And who has been His counselor that He might instruct Him? That's why God created things in such an awesome way that we could see. It took a creator, a designer. This just didn't happen by osmosis or evolution. That's a figment of the imagination of self-intelligent men who think they're greater than God. With whom did He take counsel? And who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment and taught Him knowledge and made known the way of understanding to Him? Now, as God looks down on the world, the sinning world, and the world thinks that, oh, yes, you know, we have this power and that power and we can do this and that and the other thing, verse 15. Behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket and are connected. Counted as the small dust of the scales. Behold, He takes up the isles as a very little thing. All the islands of the world, a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast of it sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations are before Him as nothing. Because God wants you to know how great He is. And are counted by Him as less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you compare God? Or what likeness will you compare to Him? The workman melts a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver chains. Lots of idols. Go into any church. Are there idols there? No, for sure, if there are, God's not there. That's to say nothing. Now, a lot of those people who go there think they're good, upstanding people. But the question is, it's not how we think we are, it's how God views us. And it's how we relate to God in our lives or don't relate to God because we sin and transgress and trample His commandments and despise His word. And idolatry is a tremendous thing in the world. And most of the idolatry that is in so many people is right here between their temples. They worship themselves and have idols in their minds. So God says, he who is too poor for that offering chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks a skillful workman for himself to prepare a graven image that will not totter. Oh, yes. Isn't that wonderful? So he asked the question, you're going to do all of this? Men are going to do all of these vain things. So he asked the question, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Who brings the rulers to nothing, he makes the judges of the earth as vanity. This is how God views what's going on the earth. So as we go through this, let's each one of us ask the question concerning our own personal lives, concerning our families, concerning the country we are living in, concerning that we are on a collision course with God, because it's not the economy, it is God. Now let's turn over here to Isaiah 45, just a few pages over. Isaiah 45, let's begin right here in verse 5. Verse 5, God says, I am the Lord, and there is none else, there is no God besides me. I clothed you, though you have not known me. Doesn't God provide for everyone in the world? Yes, he does. Now, he's talking here of Jacob. He's talking here of the descendants of Israel. But Jesus said that God makes the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust, and the sun to rise on the wicked and the good. And everything we have comes from God because he's created it. And are we giving back to God what is his? Or are we lying and cheating and stealing? Or are we committing adultery? Or are we committing idolatry? Now you see, you have to ask those questions yourself and then answer them before God. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. Now a lot of people get upset when they say that God creates evil. Now why would God, who is holy and righteous and true, do that? Because he has given us choice. Because he has set before us life and good, blessing and cursing, death and evil. So when people transgress the laws and commandments of God, and how many of you have heard in your pulpits, oh, well, the laws of God have been done away. And then they turn around and they endorse a politician and demand that the politician live by the rule of law. Now, you talk about a twisted reasoning. Okay? There's none else besides me. I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace and create evil. So whenever you sin, there is evil. Now, how much evil have you been seeing in the economy? Lots of it. What were the sins? Lust, greed, lying, cheating, stealing. Everybody, from the greatest to the least. You can blame Wall Street, but you can also blame the lettuce picker. Now, I know personally, in our town of Hollister, there was a lettuce picker who made $15,000 a year. And he got together with a real estate agency and a loan broker, and because they didn't require proof of income, and they didn't want to tell the truth that he only made $15,000 a year, they put on his application that he made $150,000 a year, and he bought, and the bank financed, a home worth 750,000. Needless to say, they foreclosed on it. So don't blame Wall Street, they're only part of it. Don't blame Washington, they're only part of it. Don't blame Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they're only part of it. Don't blame the loan brokers, they're only part of it. Don't blame the buyers, they're only part of it. But everybody has been lying and cheating and stealing, committing adultery and swearing falsely, and all of those things against God, and then they wonder, well, I wonder why the economy is falling down. Because you've been sinning against God. We'll cover that here in a little bit. Now, let's come to the book of Romans in the New Testament. Book of Romans in the New Testament. Let's come to chapter 1. Because here is something that is a perpetual witness. Now, let me also ask you this, since you're listening to this. Do you have a Bible at home? Do you read and study it? Do you try and conform your life to it? Do you understand it? You probably would have to answer no to most of those questions, and if you do, understand this. God sent it to you so you could know. So maybe you better be about opening your Bible and studying it. Now let's pick it up here in verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18. Indeed, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, and that's what we're seeing in this country. An ungodly country that legislates God out of the courts, out of the schools, out of our lives. And virtually the only place you can really learn about God is in your own home today. Here's the key. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest among them, for God has manifested it to them. For the invisible things of him are perceived from the creation of the world. You can look at the creation and understand there has to be a creator. And not only that there is a creator, but he's created you. And he's created every human being for a great purpose if they will come to him, if they will seek him. Because men say, oh God, I don't want you here. I don't want you telling me what to do. I'm a big boy now. I want to do it on my own. All right, God says, have at it. There's another God in the world who is called Satan the devil. And you would be surprised how many people worship him. That's another subject. Let's go on. Being understood by the things that were made, both as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now let's come to chapter 3. Let's see something else. Because we're also going to see how God judges the world. Because he judges the world. And it is also true that judgment begins with the house of God. So all of those who are true Christians, because there are many false Christians, let me just say this. There are millions of false Christians. Perhaps billions. And they think they're fine. So you also need to ask the question, am I a true Christian or false Christian? Being a true Christian deserves another sermon to delineate between them. But nevertheless, God is judging the world today. God is judging this nation today. And part of his judgment is the economic collapse for our sins, is the government that has been elected into office in Washington, D.C., and all of the ungodly things that they are doing and spending trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, which is only going to lead to the total collapse of this nation because there's no repentance. All right. Romans 3, verse 3. But what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? May it never be. Rather, let God be true, but every man a liar. That's just the way it is. We have a deceitful nature. And the first way to help you understand how to come out of the difficulties and problems that you may be in your life, though you may think you've been victimized by some people, and yes, maybe you have been. All men are liars. Start with yourself. That requires repentance to God. That you may be justified in your words and may be overcome when and might overcome when you are being judged by men. Now, that's the correct translation of it. Everyone has an opinion about God, and that is a judgment against God. Rather than finding out who the true God is and what he is, rather than finding out how to really love God and serve him and obey him, they have an opinion about God. Oh, I think this, I think that, and so there are millions of gods in the world, right? Yes. Verse 5, speaking of judging God, some people are going to say, well, why would God do this? Because of sin. Wages of sin is judgment, and the end thereof is death. Verse 5, but if our unrighteousness brings to reality God's righteousness, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous to inflict his wrath? Which is what we're suffering as a nation right now. And other nations have suffered it. Zimbabwe is suffering it right now. Other nations as well. And are we going to follow the way of Zimbabwe? Some people think so. Let's go on. Verse 6. May it never be, otherwise how shall God judge the world? So God judges the world. Now let's come back here to the book of Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. And this shows us how God judges the world, judges different nations. And you will read in the Bible how God raises up one nation, puts down another nation. What did God do to his own people, Israel and Judah, because they sinned? And sin is a transgression of the law. He sent them into captivity, did he not? Yes, he did. So you can read it in the whole book of Jeremiah. If you've never read the Old Testament, what I suggest you do is this. You read the book of Jeremiah, and instead of having Israel and Judah there, just put good old USA, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, United Kingdom. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. This is after God told Jeremiah, go down to the potter and let's see what he's making. Jeremiah 18, verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. That's the whole 10 tribes of Israel. Now verse 7, Jeremiah 18. God says, if at any time I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up, to pull it down, and to destroy it. So God is the one who brings the fate of the nations. What's happening to us now? We are coming down. We are being pulled down. God is doing it because of our sins. He says, verse 8, now this is why this message. Hopefully, people will repent. Verse 8, if that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil. What does that mean? turn from your pagan worship of Sunday, turn from your holidays of Christmas, Easter, New Year's, and all the occult holidays, turn from your lying, your cheating, your stealing, your adultery, your covetousness, your drug taking. That's what God is saying. If you will turn from it, God will change his mind. But if you will not turn from it, it's going to get worse, much worse. God guarantees that. So just think about it. God is true, his word is true, and his word is living and in action all of the time. That's why there's so many broken lives and broken homes and broken minds and broken emotions, because people have been living in sin, taught to live in sin, stay in sin, and when they go to church, they can't find God. And when they ask for help, they don't know how to get the help. And they look to the government, and it's full of sin and corruption and bloated excess beyond description. Now, if you think that's kind of harsh, maybe consider this. Do you think the United States will end up somewhere down the road like Mexico is today? Think on that. Because God is the one who's doing the judging. If that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. That means toward God, not in a political sense. Not with tea parties, not with 9/12, though that may be a good start. But with turning to God with all your heart, repenting deeply from within, asking God to forgive your sins. Verse 9. And if at any time I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build it and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, that it not obey my voice, then I will repent of the good with which I said I would do to do them good. So God is fair. God is just. Now let me draw a little analogy for you. Do you think that you can live by violating all the laws of the land and not suffer the consequences from it? Of course not. Sooner or later, it's going to come upon you. Is that not correct? Even some of the most vilest of crimes, supposedly upstanding men in the community, have been found out to be mass killers or mass sexual predators. Oh, and by the way, not only do the people need to repent, all the ministers, all the priests, all the bishops, they all need to repent. Repent of your lies from the pulpit, repent of your idols in your churches, repent of your pedophilia, repent of your homosexuality, repent of your adultery. The world is so twisted that a man who is a sexual pervert, a priest, who has the sexual behavior of a 7-year-old, is called father. And we think, oh, God bless us. We're good people. No. It's not so. Okay, let's come here to, let's see something also very important. You can read in the book of Jonah about the Assyrians. When God sent Jonah, he said, go tell them I'm going to punish them. They repented. From the king down to the animals in sackcloth and ashes, and God turned and held back the punishment just like he promised he would here in Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. So God could do it here. And we'll see what that will take a little later. All right, let's come to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and let's see something. Let's talk about wealth. and how we get wealth, and where does it come from? All wealth comes from the ground. Isn't that true? Or comes from what is created. Okay, Deuteronomy the 8th chapter. And I want you to think, as I am reading this, I want you to think about the United States of America and how it came to be at its very beginning, even before it was formed into the states as we know it now. And how many people have said, Deuteronomy 8, okay, how many people have said this? America is the greatest country in the world, the most blessed country in the world. How did it get that way? Oh, Americans are hardworking and industrious. That's the wrong part of the equation. That may be true. We got that way because God brought us here. And God gave this country by promise to Abraham. And all of us are here, one way or the other, as a result of what God has done. Now, we have a fantastic country, a lot of resources, marvelous wealth beyond belief, right? You know, it talks about in Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, that their chariots are without number. And every time I drive on the freeway, I think, man, I wonder how many millions of cars are going right now, this minute, you know. All right, let's read it. Let's start right out here in verse 1. Now, this is what a lot of people don't like to hear. And a lot of you who have been Protestants have been told, well, you don't need to read the Old Testament because the laws and commandments of God have been done away. Lie. Wages of sin is death, and sin is a transgression of the law. So if you believe your minister or evangelist or preacher or teacher who said that to you, you have believed a lie. You are living in sin. Now, let's read it. Here's what God expects. All the commandments which I commanded you this day, you shall be diligent to observe and to do that, and to do that you may live and multiply and go on and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness. You can read all about that in the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers. In order to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And that's exactly why we're in the trouble we are today. Are we going to be humbled? Are we going to repent? Are we going to look to God? He wants to know what is in our hearts. Neither did your fathers, And he fed you with manna, which you did not know, neither did your fathers know it, so that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Now, question. Do you believe in Jesus? You probably do. Have you ever read in Matthew, the 4th chapter, where Jesus quoted this as the duty of man in the New Testament as well? Yes. So this is how we are to live. Now let's read what else he tells him, because this chapter has a lot to do with wealth and where we are right now in the United States of America, and in Britain and Australia and New Zealand, etc. When they were in the wilderness, he said, your clothing did not wear out on you, because, you know, there was no Walmart out in the Sinai, so they had to have clothes that didn't wear out, you see. Nor did your foot swell these 40 years. And you shall consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. And you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For, now think about the land we are living in. The Lord your God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks and of water, of fountains, of depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you shall eat bread without scarceness. Isn't that us today? We have more food than we could ever want. We throw away food that other people would die to come to our garbage dumps to get to use to eat as food. You shall not lack anything in it. It is a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you may dig copper. Then, of course, coal and brass and oil. And God created all of those things. Oil did not come from dinosaurs. That's a stupid figment of the imagination of people who want to keep you enslaved to their agenda. Oil came because God created it with the heat of the earth beneath the surface of the earth for the very purpose of using it in the way that we are using it. And oil is constantly being produced in the earth. All part of what God gave us. Now notice, verse 10, here comes the warning. Here's what we need to ask ourselves. This applies directly to the United States of America and all of the other countries that I have listed, and yes, the whole world, because God judges all nations and the whole world. Now let me remind you that, remember, Zimbabwe was once Rhodesia, one of the colonies of the British Empire, correct? And they had an overflowing abundance of food and exported food. And though the British were considered somewhat oppressive, nothing like their own people against themselves. And now what are they? Starving, famine, war, killings, beheadings, rampagings of thugs through the streets. Inflation up into the millions. Will that happen here? Have the seeds been sown that that can happen here? The answer is yes. Verse 11, he says, beware. He gives a warning. That you do not forget the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied because of the blessing of God, then you become haughty in heart, self-exalted. And I think haughty in heart describes this generation as nothing else does. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Forget God. And even in the churches, they tell nice stories and tales, don't they? How you can improve yourself. What they need to do is show the truth of human nature, that it's desperately wicked above all things, and help people come to repentance and have a relationship with God. That's what needs to be. Then he says, verse 16, continuing now, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, so that he might humble you and that he might prove you to do your good, to do you good in your latter end. Because God wants to bless, but he's not going to bless unless you respond to him. Why is it that people think that they can live in their sins, take their drugs, commit adultery, commit fornication, lie, cheat, and steal, commit idolatry, thumb their nose at the Sabbath and the holy days of God, embrace the lies of Sunday, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, and all of that nonsense, and say, bless us, Lord, we're good people. Doesn't work that way. God is not that kind of God. God is not lawless like most people are in their own hearts and minds. So as we're going through this, you take the Ten Commandments and you think to yourself, am I keeping these or not? Do I believe them or not? And if you think you're a Christian, then ask yourself the question, am I keeping these in the spirit of the law as Jesus taught and as Paul taught, and are you having them written in your heart and mind as Paul wrote in Hebrews 10:16? Or does your experience with God, and God is not there, consist of just going to church on Sunday or watching a little TV for 20 minutes on Sunday morning, and then the rest of the day is on your activities and so forth, and God is not heard again or mentioned again or thought of again because you're busy with yourself, you have forgotten God. And if that's the case, then you are going to suffer because you won't learn any other way. Now he says here, verse 17, here's where we are. Beware, lest you say in your heart, this is what we've done. My power and my might and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. No, in too many cases, you see, Bernie Madoff was a minor player. The biggest players begin with the Federal Reserve Bank. This world and this nation is in the grips of Satan, the devil, and sin on such a gargantuan, deceptive scale that many people have been deceived for so long that if someone like I'm bringing in this message brings you the truth, you think that he is a raving lunatic. Well, think what you may want to think. But you're going to have to face God and deal with him. Many people have said that. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. And what is the answer to it? Let's get out of this recession and depression. Let's all work hard. Let's have the entrepreneurial spirit. Let's all get back and do those things. Let's lower taxes. No, let's repent to God. Eh? That's what needs to be. Let's go to the next track, please.